Would you join me in our opening prayer? Spirit, wind, breath, fill our lungs and lives with your energizing presence. Refresh our minds and stir our hearts so that we may humbly and courageously be your bold, uncontained, fiery presence in the world. Amen. I grew up on the Rappahannock River. I had neighbors who shared their paddle boats or canoes and took me out on the water with them. I love to be on the water. I love to watch the wildlife. I love to feel the breeze. You never know what's going to happen when you're out on the water. It's marvelous and mysterious, and yet, as much as I love it, I'd still consider myself a novice. After graduating from seminary, Eric bought me a starter kayak as a graduation gift, and we took it out with us when we went camping near a lake, and I loved it. I used to take it to my hometown and paddle around with my niece in my lap, and we'd take turns paddling as we explored the calm creek where I grew up. Somewhat often, I would venture to Lone Star Lakes near the parsonage where I lived in Suffolk, which was a calm and comfortable place for me to paddle on my own. One day, I decided I wanted to be a bit more adventurous and go out over to Smithfield because Windsor Castle Park had a great kayak launch, and it was a tidal area. It was a pretty windy day, and the water appeared to be flowing downstream toward the James River. I thought the tide must be going out. I decided to paddle upstream against the wind so that it would be easier with the wind at my back when I was coming back to the park. It was a tough paddle, and I went to the bridge and I turned around, and as I was paddling back towards the landing, the wind stopped. And guess what? I was wrong about the tide. The wind made it look like the tide was going out, but it was in fact coming in. So I had a tough paddle going out towards the bridge, and then I had a tough paddle coming back against the tide. It almost felt like I wasn't moving at all. That's the thing about the Holy Spirit. It's a mysterious and powerful wind, and we don't always know which way it's going. After Jesus' resurrection, he spent 40 days with the disciples, coming and going, teaching and preparing them to be on their own in ministry. Jesus tells them, "Wait in Jerusalem for the gift that God has promised. Wait for the Holy Spirit." The disciples weren't sure what would come next. They had hoped that Jesus would overcome the Romans and restore Israel's power. They thought the winds were blowing one way, and they didn't know that the winds were about to change. As their resurrected Lord kept emphasizing the kingdom of God and their role in this kingdom, and Israel's glory were not synonymous. God's kingdom is both now, here, today, both in the early church and of the church today, and not yet. There is still more to come. The disciples had experienced life without Jesus for 3 days between his death and resurrection. During those days, they waited in the upper room, and now they were waiting again, but this time, they seemed to trust that there was more to come, that they were not finished yet. Instead of the hope that they had for God's reversal of the earthly power structures, they began to realize that they would have to be the embodiment of God's kingdom. They and we must be the incarnation of Christ. Rick Mixon poses 3 questions about God's kingdom. What is the realm of God? Is it just spiritual? Is it also social and political? What would it look like, feel like, sound like, taste like? How will it work? Who will be in charge? And what will be our role in such a realm? When will it come? That's more than three questions, isn't it? I think we all probably have lots of questions about the kingdom of God. And we likely have our own personal hopes about what God's kingdom will be like. But it may not be the way that we think it will be. While they don't know what to expect, and they do still want Rome to be overthrown, Jesus tells his disciples that they will receive power, and that when the Holy Spirit comes, they will go from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria, and from one end of the earth to the other, telling the world the good news about Jesus. So they wait. And then one day, 50 days after the Passover, after Jesus' resurrection, all the believers gathered together in one place in Jerusalem, which not so coincidentally coincided with the Jewish Festival of Weeks, which celebrates the fruit of the season, the harvest. The connection between this Jewish festival and our celebration of Pentecost are actually really interesting. First, it's a celebration, it's a festival, it's a party, like a birthday party. Second, it was a time in which the waiting from Passover to Pentecost was filled with anticipation and desire. When the Israelites left Egypt and wandered in the desert, they were waiting for God to see what God would do and where God would lead them. There was a lot of anticipation. Since Easter, we have been waiting for Pentecost, focusing on our life with Jesus and how we are transformed by God's grace. We've been living with a hope that we aren't alone and that we don't have to do it on our own. Third, the ancient Israelites were waiting for the Torah. They were waiting for the law so they could know and understand the God who saved them. The disciples were waiting for the Spirit so that they could know and understand the God who saved them. The Israelites celebrated the fruits of the wheat harvest, and today we celebrate the fruits of the Spirit, which are seen in us as the church of Jesus Christ, as we continually live our lives as Christians with the Spirit as the church every day. On that day, when Jesus' believers were gathered in Jerusalem with a city full of Jewish pilgrims from all over the world, then the Spirit fell. A strong wind filled the room, and they didn't know where it came from or where it was going. Flames danced on each of their heads, and they could speak in all different languages that they had never known before. Which meant that as they left that room, as they went out into the city, which was filled with people from every region, that they could speak to those people in the language they knew and be understood. This meant that without ever leaving Jerusalem, they were given the power to be able to share the good news with people from every region. The wind is mysterious and powerful, and we don't control where it comes from, or when it shows up, or when it goes flat. But when it comes, it has the power to blow down barriers. The barrier of language was removed. Pentecost was the reversing of the Tower of Babel. But this isn't the only reversal happening. Even amongst the Jews, there were certain cultural separations. But here at Pentecost, they were all united by the Spirit, united in language, united in Jesus, united to hear the good news, united to start something new. united as the church, as the body of Christ, empowered to be Jesus in the world. Since Pentecost, since Jesus' ascension into heaven, since Jesus went to be with the Father, since Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, humankind has no longer been separated from God. Now, through the Spirit, not only through the law, we as Christians have come to know and understand this God who saves us. On this day, the power of the Holy Spirit gave them the ability to multiply their impact. Imagine what would happen for the kingdom of God if all of us went out into our community and told people, when it came up in normal conversation, that God loves them, that there is hope. In Jerusalem, on that first Pentecost, they were able to tell thousands of people. And then those people went back to where they came from and they shared the good news themselves. Thousands of years later, we still see the impact of that day. We see how the kingdom of God has indeed reached every corner of the earth. How God's power has blown through God's people like wind. And yet, we know our world isn't perfect. We are not living in God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, but we do call for it. We want to be a part of making God's kingdom come. The earth may still be groaning, but the church doesn't have to be groaning. Instead of groaning, the church needs to be growing, growing in joy, in praise, in celebration, in faith, in justice. And so, our responsibility is to rely on God's Spirit to guide us so that we are always showing the light of God's love to a broken world, to let people know the lengths and depths God has gone to be reunited, to rely on God's Spirit to teach us when to speak and when to listen, how to ask for forgiveness when we hurt someone, to invite us to share our lives with others, to make us agents for unity, but not just for unity's sake, for the sake of the kingdom of God. So that as Americans or Africans or Europeans or Russians or Asians, with our diverse ways of worshiping God, we might bring our shared humanity, our love for food and music and literature, and unify in ways that bring glory to God and make the world a more heavenly place. Jesus says in John 14, verse 12, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." Jesus gives us the power of the Holy Spirit to do greater things than Jesus did. Think about that for just a second. Have we ever done things greater than what Jesus did? Have you or I? Maybe not. But I do think the church has. Has the church built hospitals and healed the sick? Has the church comforted the grieving? Has the church given water to the thirsty and food to the hungry? More than 5,000? Has the church, through God's love and compassion, helped people to live into new life and be free from their sin? Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. We may not understand God's timing, but as Christians, we are clearly admonished to live in the present and to not be overly concerned about things that are in God's hands, things such as the final fulfillment of the kingdom. As the Spirit gives us God's power, we are called to be both great commandment people, loving God with our whole being, and our neighbors as ourselves, and Great Commission people, carrying the good news of God's love in Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. There's no either or, both greatest commandment and Great Commission. God's Spirit is moving. We can feel the wind even when we can't see it. We can see how it moves. We can't control it, but we can embrace it. We can't control it, but we can embrace it. We can let it move us to share the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Boundless, creative, beautiful God, thank you for the miracle of Pentecost. You sent the promised Spirit to the disciples that day, the birthday of your Christian church. Faithful and fearless witness was heard around the world throughout the generations of man since that day. It has accomplished your will and brought many, including us, to know and love Jesus as our Savior. Continue to send the Holy Spirit into our hearts that we may continue to spread the good news of total forgiveness and salvation through faith in Jesus. God, we give thanks for all of those who serve our country, for those who have made the greatest sacrifice, falling in line with you and the sacrifice you made for us. God, be with us, be with our country, and be with those who are serving. God, we pray that you would reign throughout this earth and bring your peace so that no more may die in vain. And so we are led to pray here at the gathering at Scott Memorial our breakthrough prayer. God, help us to gather with you to feed the body, mind, and spirit while being Christ's hands and feet. Help us to love and serve our local community. In Jesus' name we pray.